child with listening to on Sunday afternoons. My parents used to have hymns, and we used to memorize, you know, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and so on. And I always remember the Glasgow Phoenix Choir singing the 23rd Psalm. And that's one of my childhood memories. And it's such a precious, powerful psalm for us. And we want to just meditate for a few moments today on the final verse, because we've had four other talks on the psalm 23. And today we're looking at the passage which says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's just have a moment of prayer as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious, powerful word of God, the word of life, the word of truth. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, that your word would renew us, build us up, and strengthen us for the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, as I've said, I was just going to share a few brief reflections on this passage, as I've just been aware since this morning that I was preaching on it. So just a few brief reflections. The first thing, really, I just want to take the verse as it naturally is. So, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And it's a marvelous thing to meditate on the goodness and mercy of God. And that's my first point, really, that God's goodness and mercy in this life, the goodness of God. In Psalm 27, verse 13, David says, "I had fainted unless I had beheld the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And I don't know about you, I don't know how people go through life and go through the ups and downs and the suffering, the turmoil, the struggles of life without the goodness of God to hold on to. I sometimes wonder how those who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ get through the day. Because to me, it's with all that goes on around us in this world, as David said in Psalm 27, "I had fainted unless I had beheld the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I think I would be the same. I think I would feel tremendously hopeless unless I could hold on to the solid rock of the goodness of God. We see in Exodus 33 how the Lord speaks to Moses, and in that tremendous passage when he reveals his glory to Moses. What does the glory of the Lord look like to Moses? God says, "I will cause my goodness to pass before you," he says. He hides Moses in the cleft of the rock, and God causes his goodness to pass before Moses. The goodness of God. The goodness of God is one of his attributes. It's part of his nature. It is who he is. That God is good. His love endures forever. He is a good Father. He is a good God. Our God is not prone to moodiness. He doesn't wake up one day and feel happy and the next day grumpy. God is always good, all the time. He is perfect in his goodness. That also comes alongside him being perfect in holiness. He is a God who is judge of all the earth. He's the God who does right. He is a righteous God, sovereign in his love and holiness and truth. And yet, all these things bound together in perfection. This is something that makes God entirely unlike us. Sometimes I think we reduce God down to our size and to our human experience. My experience of goodness is that sometimes I'm good and sometimes I'm not. I'm sure that's for all of us, isn't it? Sometimes we're not good. Sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we're, you know, in all kinds of ways we can fall short of the glory and the goodness of God. But God's goodness is 100% intact in constant perpetual goodness. That's something remarkable. That's part of the mystery of the Godhead, and how God is who God is. I've said this before, but one of my favorite books is A.W. Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy, where he reflects upon the attributes of God, that God's justice, God's immutability, in other words, he cannot change, God's holiness, God's sovereignty, God's kindness, and his goodness is bound up within his nature. It's impossible for God to be not good towards us. And one of the displays of his goodness is shown forth in his mercy. It says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And his goodness and his mercy are part of his attributes, and really needed by us. Imagine if God were not merciful. Certainly the book of Lamentations reminds us that if the Lord was not merciful and counted our sins against us, we would be consumed. We are in awe of a good and a merciful God who loves us. We need that mercy. And we here in this service often repeat those words that were in the Bible in 1 John. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. That's the mercy of God. When we sin, we have an advocate. We have a way. We have a way out of sin. There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a way that is open that we may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. And the mercy of God is something that the Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Isn't it wonderful that God never tires of mercy? He never, even when Jesus said, when someone asked Jesus, how many times must we forgive? 77 times. I'm sure the Lord has forgiven me more than 77, more than 707. I won't go on. There's been plenty of mercy I have received from God. Boundless mercy from his heart. I'm always amazed every time I ask the Lord for forgiveness. I cannot cease to be amazed that forgiveness is there just as perfect and free and full as it ever was. From the first day when Jesus shed his blood, the blood has not lost its power. It is powerful. It is pure. It's free. This mercy that comes from heaven. We celebrate that mercy of God every time we come to receive this communion. Every time that's what this remembering is for. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're remembering God is merciful. He loves us. We are in Christ, and we've been set free. A way of salvation has been made open to us, and that is wonderful. We go astray, but like lost sheep, like wandering sheep, we stray. But the good shepherd is full of mercy and grace and compassion. I wonder if you've ever had that sense of being followed. You know, you look behind you and you think, I think I'm being followed. You know, that sort of sense that you get. Well, the psalm reminds us that surely goodness and mercy will follow me. We are being followed by goodness and mercy. Now, that's not always how it feels, is it? Sometimes it feels that we're being followed by trouble or by difficulty, trial. We may feel that in our emotions, but the truth today is that God's goodness is following us. The Bible says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean all things are good, but it means all things work together for our good, for the good, for God's purpose in our lives. God is working his purpose out. We may not understand, we may not be able to comprehend the pattern that he is weaving through our lives, the tapestry of his goodness and his mercy on display through us And sometimes we have to take a step back before we can see that actually God is working his purpose out, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And so that's the first point, really, that the goodness and the mercy of God are available to us in this life. And that's something to hold on to. The second and last point, really, is that salvation is for time and for eternity. And it's the last line there, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now there is such a statement of hope. This psalmist has been speaking about passing through the valley of the shadow of death. And even in that valley of shadow of death in life, there needs to be no fear of evil, because God is with them, and he comforts them. But here, the final verse, so this is not someone who's speaking from just a place of delight, but who knows the place of struggle. But the point here is that there are no shadows in heaven. There are no shadows in eternity. This is a place where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So even in this life, where we may struggle, and the Psalm 23 is a psalm that comforts those in times of struggle, is it not? It's one of the most beautiful descriptions of holding on to God in times of difficulty. And yet, the question of suffering is there, but here in this final verse, we get this triumph of hope. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No matter what comes against me in life, at least I have this, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And not only that, we know from the other verses in the psalm that there is the presence of God through difficulty, and that there is his goodness and mercy in this life. But even better, that we will dwell in his house forever. Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go there to prepare a place for you. And he's coming again. So we know, and for those of us, anyone who's put their trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, a mansion is being prepared. A heavenly dwelling. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will be in the presence of God forever. And that's my destiny. That's my destination. What does the future hold for us? This is a question that people always want to know, isn't it? And they're always on the media trying to peer into the future. What, you know, we've had the budget this week. What's the economy going to be like in 2022? Nobody knows, do they? Nobody knows. But this one thing we do know. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nothing can take that hope from us. And I wonder whether sometimes the church, the contemporary church in 2017, sometimes has forgotten the hope of eternal life. So I think sometimes we focus so much on this life that we don't think so much about that there is a life to come. There's an eternity to come. And that's the main event to be preparing for, isn't it? We will spend, our life is like a vapor. Out of the kettle, the steam rises and it is gone. Our life is like a vapor. It's here one moment and gone the next in the scheme of eternity. But this is the greatest hope, that we are heading. We are bound for glory. We are bound for heaven when we are saved by the grace of God. That is the blessed hope. And we want to be excited about this. We want to be joyful about this, that God has given us this privilege of eternal life. What does the future hold for us? It holds this home in heaven. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. This is for the truth for when we, as it says there, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's how David is describing. What do you do in the house of the Lord forever? You behold the beauty of the Lord. There's a marvelous book by a man called Randy Alcorn about heaven, which I recommend people reading. And it would be, I think it's really worth meditating on the blessing of heaven. It really fuels hope in this life to know that there is a life to come in heaven. And it causes us to fix our gaze on Jesus. That's what David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord to behold the beauty of the Lord. Even seeing God face to face. Can you imagine that day when we see him? When we see Jesus face to face. What a day that will be. There was a man, a German artist, a sculptor by the name of Daneker, who spent 8 years sculpting the face of Christ. And he spent this 8 years, it was such a occupation for him, to try and capture both love and sorrow at the same time in this sculpture. The man of sorrows, yes, but also the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he finished this sculpture, someone asked him for his next commission. He was meant to sculpt Venus. And he said, after 8 years gazing so long into the face of Christ, do you think I could turn my attention to a heathen goddess? And I think that summarizes it very much. You know, he'd spent so long looking at Christ. We might think to ourselves, well, my goodness, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, to gaze on God will fill us to the full. Psalm 27, you know, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. We will not be bored in heaven. Heaven is an amazingly glorious, wonderful, colorful, full, vibrant, holy, dynamic place which we are called to go and to be. It's our true home for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, today, let's look up. Let's look to God. Look to Jesus. Know that there is his goodness and mercy, yes, in this life, but we have something more than that. We can look up and know that we have that blessed hope one day that if we've put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a heaven to be gained. And we pray that God will bless us as we look towards that wonderful day. Amen.